You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese.
And we're here every fourth Wednesday of the month to talk about the liturgical life of our Catholic faith. We look at the liturgical year, we look at the seasons, particular feasts and celebrations, we look at the rites of the Church and the texts of the Church. Anybody who has been listening to our show this year knows that we have been spending an awful lot of time on the third edition of the Roman Missal and its English translation. And we talk about the various other elements of liturgy, environment and music
and all of the sacramental rites, sacramentals, devotions, blessings.
All of the things that constitute our communal liturgical life in our church, in our parishes, in our faith. And today we're going to talk about a number of things. We want to spend some time talking about communion under both species. We want to look at where that comes from and how that is lived out in the liturgical life of the parishes, the majority of parishes in this country. We're going to, as I alluded to a moment ago, we're going to spend some time talking about the Roman Missal.
We are just one month away from today. Implementation, that's right, 1 month from today. So that first Sunday of Advent, the Vigil Mass of Anticipation, which is
on Saturday,
26th of November, the changes will be implemented.
Right. So we are 1 month away. We want to spend some time looking at some resources, and in particular a new one in regard to the Chants of the Mass that LTP has just put out. And we are going to weave in through all of that some breaking open of these final weeks of the liturgical year.
Mm-hmm. We're winding down this liturgical year, about to begin a new one with Advent, and as we've talked about before, the end times are a focus for the readings of this time of year and also the texts of the Mass. And next Tuesday is the Solemnity of All Saints, which opens up the month of All Souls, when we remember the dead for the entire month of November.
Followed by the commemoration of all the faithful departed, All Souls Day on the 2nd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this time of year.
Yeah, so do I.
I love the liturgies of this time
of year. And we've talked about before that we're very fortunate in the Northern Hemisphere that the weather, the natural seasons, segue very nicely with the liturgical year. So as we enter into the time of end times, so does
nature.
Nature, yeah, exactly.
As we're here in the scriptures of being ready for the end times and the harvest, and those urgent messages of preparation. You look around you, and we're in the final throes of harvest, and as the world, at least as you pointed out in this part of the world, as it all looks like it's
dying.
Yes, we are pointed to our own mortality through the liturgy. So that makes both you and I sound pretty macabre, I think.
It kind of does. But it points to new life.
Exactly. And the eternal life, huh?
Exactly.
Well, let's start then. Let's talk a little bit about communion under both species. When we talk about that, we're talking about the species of both bread and the consecrated bread and the consecrated wine. Mm-hmm. It's been a practice here in the Archdiocese of Chicago on a full level since Easter Sunday of 1985. Then Cardinal Bernardine gave permission at every Sunday Mass and daily Mass to offer communion under both species, which wasn't a practice prior to the reforms and the revision of the liturgy called for by the Second Vatican Council.
Absolutely. In fact, the reception of communion had kind of dwindled a little bit before that, and the document Mediator Dei, which actually kind of set the stage for the revisions of the Second Vatican Council and the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, really emphasized the importance of receiving frequently. And so the Second Vatican Council really opened up for us reception of Holy Communion, the importance of it, but also of the fullness that is received in both species. And that continues today. And as you said, the Archdiocese of Chicago opened that up for the people in 1985. And it's not that you're required to receive from both the chalice and the host, but it's a fuller sign. It's a fuller symbol to receive both the body and the blood.
I think that's an important note, that you're not required to receive both. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's what's called the doctrine of concomitance, which
exactly.
Basically means the fullness of Christ's presence exists in the bread fully. It exists in the host, or in the chalice, in the precious blood fully as well. So if you receive just from the consecrated bread, you're receiving the fullness
of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
If you receive just the precious blood, you are receiving the fullness
of
the Eucharist.
And in some cases, people can only receive from the cup because of celiac disease, for example. They can't receive the host because of the gluten that's in the host. And for a valid Eucharist, gluten needs to be in the host, so that unfortunately they can't receive from the host, but they can from the cup, and they are receiving the full presence of Christ in the consecrated elements of the precious blood.
Right. Well, if I think a common question is if you don't have to have both species, well, then why would you?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important point. What is the value of both species? Certainly, the leadership of the archdiocese here, our neighboring dioceses, the leadership of the bishops as a whole in this country, support and understand that.
Well, it goes back to Scripture, too. From the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper, Jesus said, take and eat, take and drink, do this in remembrance of me. So our ritual action of remembering the sacrifice of Christ more fully shows our participation in that sacrifice.
It's expressed more fully when there is both the eating of the body of Christ and the drinking of the blood.
Right.
In fact, the general instruction of the Roman Missal, the guidelines and the directives that govern the celebration of Mass, has a lot to say about about communion under both species. At one point, the document notes that it is the fuller sign of the Eucharistic banquet to receive both the body of Christ and the precious blood, to receive communion under both species. It has a fuller form as a sign. And this is actually paragraph 281 from the general instruction. But it does another it mentions another thing too. It says that not only is it a fuller sign of the Eucharistic banquet, but it shows in a greater way the relationship between the Eucharistic banquet and the eschatological banquet, which is right up your alley.
Well, when we participate in the Eucharist, we are also participating with the heavenly banquet. I like to say it's like we have one foot in the door of heaven every time the Eucharist is celebrated, because it's a foretaste of heaven.
It points us to what we will be experiencing for all eternity.
Exactly. And also the general instruction, which you just quoted from, which is the introductory material to the Roman Missal, it it's a newly revised document, but it also links us back to the Second Vatican Council with what the council called us to. And in Article 14, it emphasizes that this flows from the Second Vatican Council's renewals of the Eucharistic banquet. And it says that the council gave permission for the reception on occasion of communion under both kinds because this clearer form of the sacramental signs offers a particular opportunity for understanding more deeply the mystery in which the faithful participate. So by participating in the reception of Holy Communion under both forms, we understand more fully that mystery. We understand more fully how we're connected with heaven, with the heavenly banquet. And blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. That's what we are called to.
Exactly. And that, and we partake in that every time we go to Holy Communion.
Right.
We'll pick it up there when we come back from these messages. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
And we're talking about communion under both species, the practice of receiving communion from the consecrated bread, the body of Christ, as well as receiving communion from the consecrated wine, the precious blood. And Danielle, before that break, we were just kind of looking at how this came about in the revision of the liturgical rites that came from the Second Vatican Council, and you were looking at the general instruction, the introductory material to the Roman Missal, and how it connects that that practice, that liturgical practice, to the to the Second Vatican Council, but then the Second Vatican Council connected that to Trent.
Right, right. That's very interesting. The very first article in the General Instruction, or the germ as we call it, emphasizes that this flows from the Second Vatican Council, but also that wasn't just a revolution that happened back in 1963. It comes all the way back from the Council of Trent, which was in the middle to late 1500s.
Right.
So that just shows the mind of the church in showing how that full participation, that full expression of the signs and symbols of both body and blood have been with the church for centuries.
Yeah. And the opportunity for fuller participation in that, as mm-hmm. you said before the break, connects us to not just our tradition, but connects us to the heavenly banquet,
right.
connects us to Christ's self-sacrifice at
right.
the Last Supper.
Right.
In the council, then the council kind of opened up the opportunities when it in celebrations where communion under both kinds might be opportune,
mm-hmm.
and so listed a limited number mm-hmm. of times.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I mean, particularly here in the United States, and most definitely here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, that really took root.
Right.
So the
it shows that there's a need and a desire to want to receive from both the cup and the host as well. It kind of flows from the people, in a sense, that desire is there and that need.
Well, historically, what happened is given those opportunities listed
mm-hmm.
In the ritual books themselves, as well as in the general instruction, the more bishops began to request permission for expanding
mm-hmm.
that allowance,
mm-hmm.
As such that in the last revision of the general instruction, Article 283 gives that finally in law, in the in the liturgical law, gives that permission finally to the diocesan bishop to establish norms
mm-hmm.
in his diocese for communion under both kinds. That's the law,
mm-hmm.
and as we've said, largely in the dioceses of the United States, that is the practice.
Mm-hmm.
That is the practice here in Chicago. That will remain the practice
right.
Here in Chicago to allow for both species at every celebration of
right.
the Mass.
So that does not change with the Roman Missal
nope.
and all of the rubrics associated with that and all of the norms. That will still be what happens in Chicago.
In fact, that article that I just
mm-hmm.
alluded
mm-hmm.
to and quoted, that giving the diocesan bishop permission, that's in the general instruction
yes.
that is part
yes.
of the third edition
exactly.
of the Roman Missal.
You know, and all through the general instruction, I don't want to say that it presupposes that this is happening everywhere, but it does take into consideration that if this is happening, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
So it's throughout the document, which shows the importance given to both kinds and how to handle it if it is done.
And how to minister it. And of
mm-hmm.
course, the directions that the requirements that it be done with reverence,
mm-hmm.
that it be done without opportunity
mm-hmm.
for profanation, huh?
Exactly. And because it's such a common practice in the United States, there is an additional document that was issued for the norms for the distribution and reception of Holy Communion under both species. So it's a more detailed document that's specific to that one action.
In the dioceses
mm-hmm.
of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Showing its importance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, showing its importance in the liturgical life of Catholics all over.
Right.
Going back to what you pointed out at the very beginning. You know, Christ said, take and eat.
Mm-hmm.
This is my body, and take and drink. And has called us to that. That's what
mm-hmm.
we do.
Exactly.
Each and every Sunday, week to week, season to season, year to year.
Exactly.
It is the fuller expression of the Eucharistic banquet. That has its roots, yes, in tradition, but also in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's talk a little bit about the scriptural roots and the scriptural imagery that we have of, you know, the great wedding banquet
mm-hmm.
between
mm-hmm.
the Lamb and the Church
mm-hmm.
that's given to us in Revelation.
Right.
You know, it is a banquet at which we both eat and drink.
Right, and that's that eschatological connection between what we celebrate on a daily basis in the Eucharist with what is going on in heaven. And that comes right from Revelation. When we were talking, we used the quote before, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. That's that Revelation image, you know, that the Lamb of God surrounded by the saints in heaven, waving palm branches, and that lamb is the sacrifice. So you've got that imagery of blood, which blood means sacrifice.
And is terribly rooted in our tradition,
not just
the Christian tradition, but what we inherited from our Jewish forebears.
Sure. Well, the Last Supper obviously is connected to the Passover, depending on which of the either the synoptic accounts or versus the Gospel of John. But in that Passover ritual from our Jewish ancestors
in faith,
the cup is extremely important, but also blood is extremely important with the sacrifice of the lamb and placed on the doorposts.
So it was by this blood that mm-hmm. they were saved.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus becomes that new covenant, that new sacrifice.
That new lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And it is by his blood that we are saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so partaking in that is touching into and encountering the very self-sacrifice of Christ.
Exactly. And we are brought into that sacrifice, that one sacrifice. And we make that present every time the Eucharist is celebrated.
And every time we partake in the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Let's break there. We'll continue this when we come back from these messages. So stay tuned for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
You are invited to an evening of remembrance and prayer on All Saints' Day for all victims of childhood sexual abuse and their families. A Mass of Remembrance will be held on Tuesday, November 1st at 6 p.m. at Holy Family Church, 1080 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. The Mass will be followed by a candlelight procession and vigil service in the Healing Garden next to Holy Family Church. For more information, contact the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry at 312-534-8256. That's 312-534-8256.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We're talking about the importance of communion under both kinds,
mm-hmm.
The receiving both the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and how that is a norm in the United States,
mm-hmm.
Coming from the Second Vatican Council, how it's established in the general instruction of the third edition of the Roman Missal, that each diocesan bishop has the authority and the right to establish his own norms, how it is the norm here in Chicago and our neighboring dioceses as
mm-hmm.
well, so the list,
mm-hmm.
the area of our listening audience, and how that will remain such in this archdiocese.
Right.
And at the break, Danielle, we were talking about the scriptural connections,
right.
And not just the Last Supper institution, but as you pointed out, back into the Hebrew scriptures and in the Old Testament, particularly with the Exodus. But then in the Christian scriptures, in the New Testament, and in the Gospels, I mean, you have imagery that's connected to the cup as a profound symbol of our Christian life and of our Christian call to, in imitation of Christ, to self-sacrifice, to sacrifice ourselves.
Right.
You see it in citations and accounts like that great question of Christ in the gospel when talking about who will be at your right and who will be at your left and who will be more important, and his response: can you drink from the cup that I must drink? Can you follow in imitation of me? Can you do what I will do? And that all of the how drinking from the cup, how drinking from that sacrifice is so tied up with our Christian lives.
Absolutely. And you know, we've talked a lot about how the liturgy forms and shapes us, and that the texts of the liturgy point to what we believe in. And I was reminded as we were talking about a lot of the scriptural connections with our belief in Christ's presence and the importance of both species, the Holy Thursday liturgy itself, which, as we know, that liturgy is the celebration of the institution of the Eucharist, and the gospel is obviously the washing of the feet. But looking at the first reading in the psalm for that liturgy, the first reading rooted in the Exodus account of the Passover, but also the antiphon for the psalm, I think, alludes to what you're talking about, Todd, in terms of our Christian life and
our
call to our life as a sacrifice. Is the antiphon is, I will take the cup of life, I will call God's name. And thinking of that in relationship to the Eucharist is, you are taking that cup of life. You are receiving into yourself what is beyond yourself so that you become more like the image of Christ, which is what we're called to be. But becoming Christ-like, what are we then called to do? Our life must be a constant sacrifice of praise,
and a sacrifice of praise as well as a sacrifice of self to others, to our brothers and sisters, to the world, to God.
And I think actually that's what, by sacrificing of yourself to the world, to God, to others, is actually becomes that sacrifice of praise. That it's not just verbal; it's our very being.
Oh my gosh, what an excellent point. Exactly. Well, that was a great way to say it. It's not just verbal.
No, it's not. And I mean, we've talked about the Gloria text, the new text: we praise you, we adore you, we glorify you. It's not just words that we're uttering to God. How do we internalize that? And how do we be praiseful?
I'm laughing because I teach a class at Loyola, sacraments class, and we were talking, this is exactly what we were talking about last night in looking at the Eucharist. We're at that segment. That's exactly what we were talking about. What does it mean to live a life of praise and thanks?
Well, the prophets talk about empty worship, and that if our words aren't internalized and that we aren't called to action and exemplify God through our life, then the words we utter at liturgy are pointless.
And empty. And what a profound ritual gesture then. What a profound ritual statement of taking that cup of life and calling on the name of the Lord.
I want to read a short little text for you. This is from the New Translation of the Roman Missal, which we are going to talk about more in the next half of the show. But this is the preface to the Eucharistic prayer for Holy Thursday. And all prefaces are a theology of salvation. So they always articulate a particular aspect of Christ and salvation. And this, listen to the words of this, because it highlights the importance of the Eucharist, exactly what we're talking about. For he is the true and eternal priest who instituted the pattern of an everlasting sacrifice and was the first to offer himself as the saving victim, commanding us to make this offering as his memorial. As we eat his flesh that was sacrificed for us, we are made strong. And as we drink his blood that was poured out for us, we are washed clean.
The texts of the liturgy themselves talk about this ritual sign, this fuller expression of the spiritual reality, that when we take both, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we participate in that sacrifice of Christ. Called then to sacrifice ourselves. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. And all of this, I want to be careful too. You know, any of our listeners who, for whatever reason, can't or don't receive from
that's perfectly fine.
I don't. I don't want to make it sound like you're not. You know, that's not a. But what I think we are emphasizing is that we do have this opportunity.
Right.
It is part of our liturgy. It will remain a part of our liturgy. And that for those who can and who really are able to participate in that fuller sign, yes, by all means, do. For everything that we've said here and what the liturgy calls us to.
Right. Jesus said, take and eat and take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me.
And the text that you did quote there from the Holy Thursday liturgy, which, you know, if any night the importance and any liturgy, the importance of the cup is so emphasized there. The blood of the Lamb that marked the door of the Israelites in the very first Passover, which roots our Christian understanding of sacrifice and particularly of Christ is so vitally important. And that text from the third edition of the Roman Missal from Holy Thursday is a great segue that we'll use to switch gears a little bit and to look a bit more at that coming English translation when we come back from these messages. So stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy, Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World. You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to the second half of Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
We're here every fourth Wednesday of the month. And for the second half of the show, Danielle, we've done it for every show for this whole year. There is absolutely no way we can go off air without talking about the third edition of the Roman Missal.
Well, as we said in the beginning of the show, we're 1 month away
from
implementation. I can't believe that it's almost here.
I can't either.
I'm excited.
You know what? I am too. I'm excited. We've you might have heard the commercial on here on Relevant Radio about the workshops that our office is doing all over the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. Did one on Monday night. We've got another one tonight up at St. Francis de Sales in Lake Zurich. We have one tomorrow at St. Hubert's in Hoffman Estates. By and large, Danielle, the experience is that the faithful, that's who these current workshops are for, mm-hmm. just any interested Catholic, walk away with, oh my gosh.
I've had the same experience too. I did one last week, and
this isn't going to be difficult, and even some excitement about it.
You know, as our listeners are probably aware, we've been able to implement early with the sung texts, like the Glory of the Holy, Holy. And I was in a parish recently that had been implementing them early, and they were doing really well with singing them. It didn't seem to be as difficult as we had assumed. Now, granted, it was a brand new Mass setting, so that probably helped a little bit in terms of learning it. But then the session that I had last week, really good questions about the text. Yeah. You know, obvious ones like, what does consubstantial mean? And then even to the point of referring them back to what we were saying now, they didn't really understand that. So this really opened it up to understand it more deeply in terms of understanding that we are a Latin Rite church. And I think in some ways we've kind of lost a connection to that because of the language and the vernacular. And that kind of opened their eyes to the universality of the church. And even looking at the obvious things with your spirit, how that brings us more in line with all the other translations.
Mm-hmm. The other major language mm-hmm. groups of the Catholic world.
Yeah, and you know, when I went into the session last week, everyone was on kind of the basic level. You know, they knew something was happening, knew a change was coming.
They'd seen
advertisements in the bulletin, and there wasn't a lot of angst. But I think afterwards they came out with a deeper understanding of the connections between text and ritual and action, and
what's proclaimed mm-hmm. about our faith and our tradition,
right.
And Danielle, you're right. That raises one point that we've just got to remember. This is an opportunity for more than just new words.
Right.
You know, it's got to be more than that.
Right.
It's got to be an opportunity in learning new words. To come to a deeper understanding and appreciation of the Eucharistic liturgy.
Absolutely. And I think, to be honest with you, Todd and I were both at the FDLC convention out in Portland about 2 weeks ago. And in talking with a lot of people in your position across the country, Advent's only the beginning for the catechesis.
Yeah.
And you know, with a lot of the resources that we've been doing at LTP, we've been focusing so much on preparing everyone from all different levels, whether you're a director of liturgy, a pastor, or even a person in the pew. We've been doing a lot of work preparing a lot of the staff people to catechize about
right.
it. And it's just opening the doors now to educating the faithful about the meaning of the text. And it's not just about, oh, we need new words. But what do those words mean in the context of the greater celebration?
What do they reveal? What do they call us
to? Exactly.
You've already said it, I believe, in this show, that the liturgical texts shape mm-hmm. us.
Exactly.
They tell us what we believe. They form our faith. They mold us mm-hmm. as you know, the more we hear, the more we pray these mm-hmm. words, they shape us, they mold us, they tell us what it is that's in the heart of our faith.
When Advent comes, I think we're entering into a strong period of mystagogy. And I think there's a strong parallel that can be made between what happens in RCIA and what's happening now with the change. And when you're in RCIA, when you're a catechumen, and we don't teach a lot about what you're going to experience because we want them to experience the mystery and then unpack the mystery.
And that's exactly what mystagogy mm-hmm. is. It is reflecting back on what God has done to us and what we've experienced of God in these rites.
Exactly.
And in looking back at them, unpack them.
Exactly.
And identify.
Because in preparing people for Advent, when they haven't yet really experienced or prayed the text, it's a lot to take in at once. And so now it's going to become slowly part of us. And we're going to experience different prayers and different things on a week-to-week basis, and we're going to have all of these different aha moments along the way.
Yeah.
And so all of the sessions that we've been having to prepare for Advent keep them going.
Just opens, opens the door to even further catechesis and development and understanding and deeper levels of participation.
Exactly.
You know, to be mindful, starting a month from now, just to be mindful of what are the phrases that strike you.
Mm-hmm.
What are the words that lead to an aha moment, as you said, you know, to an epiphany, to a revelation.
Right.
The texts reveal God.
Right.
The texts reveal Christ. The texts reveal the church. The texts reveal our faith.
Right.
That's why they are so terribly important. And, you know, our listeners, and particularly any parish leadership who are listening, need to ask, what have we been doing? What are we doing to help prepare our people to receive these texts?
Right.
And there are some parishes, at least locally, that we're aware of in this archdiocese that are doing tremendous work. St. Francis de Sales in Lake Zurich.
Uh-huh.
Father Ryan, the pastor there, has done tremendous work in
helping.
What's he
been doing exactly?
Oh, Father Jerry Jacob at St. Edna's is another example that comes to my mind. My own parish. It making use of bulletin inserts, preaching on the when the opportunity arises in that particular liturgy to include some catechesis on the coming texts in the homily, pulpit announcements either after Mass, catechetical, you know, little catechetical moments after Mass that might run through the dialogues and then do a little bit of breaking open. What does end with your spirit mean? Evenings, gatherings, opportunities for some information and formation. These are the kinds of things that these parishes are doing, you know, and they've just done great work there. On the other hand, conversely, I know of parishes who have done very, very little, and you just hope that their people are prepared to be able to enter into these texts come 1 month from tonight.
Well, if very little has been done now in preparing, you know, hopefully they'll explore the opportunities post-Advent to really open up those texts. I love what you said about the homilies, because we rarely hear homilies that aren't about Scripture. And the documents for homilies are really clear that the texts of the Mass are also a source. And, you know, back in the 4th century, it's like St. John Chrysostom did all of these mystagogical homilies for the catechumens. Now's the time to really bring that back.
Yeah. That,
and to
that
really
art.
Explore that mystagogy.
Benedict calls for a return to mystagogical preaching in Sacramentum Caritatis, his first encyclical. And maybe that's a point we can pick up on when we come back from this break. So stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy after these messages. This year, on November 26th and 27th, the Catholic Church all over the United States will begin celebrating the Mass using the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. In much of the prayers, responses, and acclamations, this English translation will no doubt sound a bit different from what we're currently used to in the Mass. The question is, are you ready for these new words? The Office for Divine Worship invites you to a two-hour session of information and reflection, Praying the New Missal Texts, a workshop for all Catholics. There are several sessions scheduled through early November. For dates, times, and locations of the remaining workshops, go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153. Don't miss this opportunity for exploring the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. We are talking about what else?
The Roman Missal.
The third edition of the Roman Missal. And just before that last break, talking about what parishes are doing in preparation to receive and to begin using these texts 1 month from tonight. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, you made note that LTP, just a great resource for the Archdiocese of Chicago and certainly for the nation and even beyond. LTP has produced some wonderful resources.
Thank you.
And the brand new one that has just come out that is really rather exciting.
It's a two-part resource. It's called Learning the Chants of the Missal, Part 1 and Part 2, and it's a CD collection. And we've had Michael Jonkus, who many of you are familiar with. Michael Jonkus is a noted theologian and extremely talented vocalist and composer. And if you're familiar with the liturgical songs On Eagle's Wings or We Come to Your Feast or Take and Eat, he composed those.
Yep, a priest of the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Mm-hmm. Paul.
And so Michael has done all of the recordings of the chants of the Missal. He's done them a cappella. The new Missal, you'll notice, focuses very strongly on singing the liturgy. Mm-hmm. So more chants are included in this edition of the Missal.
That's our tradition.
No, it is our tradition. But all of the prefaces are set to music, all of the Eucharistic prayers 1 and 1 through 4. There have been inscriptions established to set the presidential prayers, like the collect, the prayer after communion, the prayer over the offerings.
Excuse me, I also just might make note that there is an ODW connection to that.
Annabelle O'Shea has graciously pointed the song, the presidential prayers. Now, the pointing is not in the Missal. It was originally going to be, but the tones are included in the Missal.
So pointing just means setting the texts to those
tones. Exactly.
Right.
So to be helpful to priests so that they can sing them and not flip back and forth for the tone to the text, Annabelle has pointed everything.
Right.
So Michael recorded the prayers based on Annabelle's tones. So the first CD collection is on the Order of Mass, so all of the chants that are included in the Order of Mass. The second CD collection are all of the presidential prayers. So from the Proper of Time, which is the seasonal section of the Missal.
Advent, Christmas, Ordinary Time.
All of the Sundays mm-hmm. for the Proper of Time are in there, as well as some certain solemnities and holy days of obligations from the Proper of Saints. So all of the prayers after communion, the prayer of the offerings, the collects, in those cases when the prefaces are not in the Order of Mass but in the Proper of Time, those are on that recording as well.
So this recording is a resource that presiders can use, priests can use to learn the chants, because the Missal does encourage
exactly.
And by chant, we don't mean elaborate Gregorian chant.
No,
we
it's
mean,
very simple.
We mean sung mm-hmm. Text, mm-hmm. singing the text. That's what the missal means when it says chant.
Exactly.
We've got some examples.
Yeah, the
from
first
this,
one that we're
CDs.
Going to play for you is from the first CD collection, and it's the Sign of the Cross and the first option for the greeting and the response. So this is twofold. It gives you an example of what chant is, how simple it is, how beautiful it is, but also it'll illustrate or highlight one of the text changes that you're going to experience this coming Advent.
Excellent.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and with your spirit.
Excellent. He is so good.
Yeah, Michael is wonderful. He recorded that CD in 2.5 days with very little rework. It was really wonderful.
As you said even before we heard that, Danielle, how simple and yet how beautiful. Mm-hmm. And sung prayer calls us to a different level of awareness.
Right. People have said, for a while, we're not just singing at the liturgy. It's not just we sing a hymn here and there. We are singing the liturgy. The texts of the Mass are inherently musical in and of themselves.
Exactly.
There's a poetry, there's a rhythm to the prayers, cadence to the prayers that are naturally musical.
And we said that, as we said, that's our tradition.
Mm-hmm.
From the earliest years of the church, even up to the present,
mm-hmm.
the Mass is meant to be sung,
right?
And certainly it's what we've inherited from our Jewish forebears.
Mm-hmm.
But and the Missal, the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal highlights that,
and incorporating those musical elements adds a solemnity to the celebration.
It does.
And we've talked about before how the new translation is a more formal language. Obviously, liturgical prayer is a different context for language, and it is more formal. I think the musical elements add to that formality.
And I think this next example is shows us exactly those kinds of things.
Sure. Also from the first collection of the CD, we're going to play for you the preface dialogue and also the preface for All Saints, which is next Tuesday.
Next week,
so I wanted to kind of bring in that.
Tie in that.
And also the text for the preface acclamation, which is the Sanctus or the Holy, Holy, Holy.
The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you are praised in the company of your saints, and in crowning their merits, you crown your own gifts. By their way of life, you offer us an example. By communion with them, you gave us companionship. By their intercession, sure support. So that, encouraged by so great a cloud of witnesses, we may run as victors in the race before us, and win with them the imperishable crown of glory through Christ our Lord. And so, with the angels and archangels, and with the great multitude of the saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to World Youth Day in Madrid, where 1.5 million young adult Catholics from around the globe gathered in prayer and celebration with the Holy Father. We'll attend a multi-faith 9/11 memorial service 10 years after that fateful day. And we'll visit with the man who heads our vocations office and find out what he's doing to foster vocations within the Archdiocese.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our last segment, and right before that break, Danielle, we played Father Michael Jonkis chanting the preface dialogue, the preface for All Saints coming next week, and the Holy Holy from the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. What a great resource. LTP 1-800-933-1800 is the order line.
Or www.ltp.org or www.revisedromanmissal.org. Any number of those Roman Missal resources are available on the website, or call for our customer service to assist you with what you need.
Sometimes, Danielle, you and I even surprise ourselves, as we were just talking about in the at that break, because you made an observation about that text that Father Michael Jonkis just chanted, the preface to All Saints.
Well, we picked that because we wanted to, in some way, highlight what time of the liturgical year we were in, and All Saints Day, obviously, is next Tuesday. But, you know, in listening to that preface, it really points to that eschatological banquet.
That we were talking about at the beginning, the first part of the show.
So participation in the Eucharist brings us
full
to
participation.
More full participation in the eschatological banquet, a participation in the banquet in which the saints and angels are participating in at the same time we are. What a profound revelation of faith that is.
In the Eucharist, the heaven and earth are united.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. In the incarnation, heaven and earth became united, and Christ became present on earth. He dwelled among us, and he still dwells among us in his risen presence. And so that union still exists whenever we participate in the Eucharist.
Yeah, and whenever we participate in the Eucharist, whenever we enter into one of the formal official rites of the Church, liturgy, that's what liturgy is.
Right.
The sacraments, the blessings, that's what liturgy is. It's a participation in the great prayer of praise and thanks that Christ continually offers for all eternity to the Father. In heaven, and we participate in that. Christ associates our praise and thanks with his, calling us to live in imitation of him, letting these words shape us and form us and lead us to that full living of our baptism,
absolutely,
of our Christian lives.
Well, as we count down to the implementation of the Missal, it's not too late to get people aware of what's coming. Bulletin inserts, homilies, letters to individual families, put the text of the Mass in the bulletins with comparisons of what we were saying and what we are going to say.
You can get those online at the USCCB
absolutely.
Website. Evenings or afternoons mm-hmm. Of formation mm-hmm. and information. Mm-hmm. Making use of any of the remaining workshops that our office is providing. Making
right.
use of the materials that LTP produces.
And your formation sessions can be really simple. Just sit down with the text, specifically the text of the people, and recite them together, and you know, ask them, what have you noticed? What's changed? What questions do you have? Are there any phrases or words that jump out at you that you don't understand or you want to explore more deeply? Use the last 4 weeks as a time of preparation. There are resources from LTP, even purchasing pew cards and giving them out ahead of time so that they can see what's going to happen. The faithful need to be able to participate as fully as possible, and learning the words is going to help them do so, and then unpacking
them. Yeah. Where does, you know, to make the connection with the Lord be with you and with your spirit, to make that connection with the scriptures from whence they come from,
right.
you know, that alone opens up doors for,
right.
for people. These we're using the greeting that St. Paul used.
Right.
And with
right.
your spirit.
Right.
So an awful lot that parishes can continue to do. If our agencies can be of any assistance, we're at www.odw.org or
www.ltp.org.
Thank you for listening to Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be back next month, fourth Wednesday of the month, which is the Wednesday and the Friday before we begin using the third edition of the Roman Missal. Be sure to listen in, to tune in then. And for LTP and Danielle Knott, I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship. God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.